Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
A few weeks ago, I was in the kitchen with one of our children, and she had just very loudly asked Alexa for the Christmas playlist. I braced myself for the inevitable, which duly erupted into our peaceful home. I don't want a lot for Christmas. Now, by the way, let me just say, I'm saying it like that because I figure tonight is the traditional carols. You are definitely the classiest crowd that we have at this time of the year. And I suppose if I tried to get sounding slightly more like Mariah Carey, you probably would never forgive me and never come back. Anyway, where was I? I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the... And then two things happened in swift succession. Number one, my cynicism suddenly started to wane. I suddenly realized that Miss Carey might actually have a positive role in my daughter's life. I don't want a lot for Christmas. That's a very countercultural line. It might even help her move away from the rampant seasonal consumerism towards something more content, more wholesome. That was the first thing that happened. And then secondly, at the very same time that I was having these thoughts, my daughter said even more loudly over the music before Mariah could finish her sentence, "Daddy, I do care about the Christmas tree." The trouble with Christmas is everyone wants something slightly different. What do you want for Christmas? It's not a question that we actually risk asking too often. If you could really have anything for Christmas, anything, what would you want? A new job? A solution for your finances? A holiday? A marriage healed? A rollback on your diagnosis? Reunited with your lost loved one? Or perhaps life is just wonderful right now, and what you really wish is that it would just stay that way always. The thing is, what's definitely true is that all of us will want something different. And yet, at the heart of Christmas, we learn that we need the same thing. Every person, from every time and every space, will find their deepest needs met in one and the same place and the same time in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We've just sung that wonderful carol. And it goes like this. O little town of Bethlehem, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The hopes and fears of all the years. What does that mean? Is that even possible? What difference does it make? Is that really for me and for you? Well, I want to have a brief go at just answering some of those questions. And to do so, we need to get the bigger picture. And that's what I love about this Carols by Candlelight service. Because if we just look at the scenes around the angels and the shepherds and the manger, it's just one section of one movement, if you like, of God's great eternal symphony. If we're really going to grasp the tune of God's purposes for us, we need to go back much further than Jesus' birth and get the whole work. And that's what we've been able to do as we've listened to the scriptures this evening. And I want to spend just a few minutes listening to another movement in God's symphony. That's the prophet's tune, and specifically those famous words, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And I'd like to share with you how I believe in Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger, God has given us light today for the darkness out there, and also light for the darkness in here, in our hearts. And we need nothing more than that. So first of all, Christmas means God has given us light for a dark world. Light for a dark world. The Christmas season is often a reference point for the passing of time. Perhaps you're that phase of life where the younger kids have completed another year of school, or perhaps it's a little bit further down the track, the older ones are returning home from their travels or their first jobs. It's also a time when we take stock of what's happened generally in the year. And I've found as the years pass by, alongside the warmth of the season, actually, we can't help but take stock of the darkness in our world too. It may be a global darkness. Every Christmas, there's always some story of war and oppression that has hit the news that year. There's always a steady stream of envelopes coming into my door, probably yours as well, from charities asking for help. And we're right, of course, to want to respond to that. That's part of what Jesus calls us to. And by the way, if you would like to respond this evening specifically, at the end of our service, we're going to be taking a retiring collection for the charity Open Doors. They're raising money to support persecuted Christians in the Middle East. A very timely cause right now. So it could be global. It could be very personal, the darkness. Perhaps you find yourself trapped in a difficult relationship. Or perhaps you're in a long-running family feud, or there's a situation of injustice against you at work. But as we think of the need, we may wonder, will oppression never end? Well, here's the first wonderful thing about the Christmas message. If Jesus is the long-expected Messiah, it will. Here's what the prophet said. "You have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire." This is an incredible vision. Great Christmas comfort. War and oppression will not have the last word. One day Jesus will return, and he will return not as another even stronger oppressor, but as the one who ends oppression itself, the Prince of Peace. Now that is light for our dark world. Light for our dark world. Or what about the need for good leadership? This has been a year where we've really thought about that, haven't we? We've been yearning for new and better rulers everywhere in the world. Elections in the UK, the US, the overturn of Assad in Syria, battles for sovereignty in the Middle East, Sudan, Ukraine. Of course, sadly also, it's been one of those years where we're reminded that after only a short time, the successors also begin to disappoint. And we wonder, is our world just going to keep pinballing from one broken leader to the next? Well, again, here's another great Christmas comfort. The greatest regime change has already happened. And it happened when Jesus came. God the Son has come into the world. He went on to die and rose again. He's now crowned King of Kings. Our future is not in the hands of any earthly ruler. It is in his greater and safer hands. You remember the words, "The government will be on his shoulders." Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. That is great light for our dark world. Of course, the challenge with sharing those visions is it begs the question, where is this light then? It's been 2,000 years. Where is this great kingdom? And actually, we could have asked that on day one when Jesus was born. Jesus is the king? Really? The whole of the nativity story is based around more powerful kings pushing him around. First Caesar says, oh, we're going to have a census now that Jesus and his family have to move. Then Herod comes in and his agents, his murderous agents, are chasing Jesus. He has to run off to Egypt. We get actually a clue right from the beginning in Isaiah. To us, a child is born. Yes, he's a king, but he's going to have a humble start, a human birth. In fact, Jesus got asked the very question. The Pharisees came to him and said, show us this great kingdom of yours. And he said, the kingdom will not come with observable signs. Nor will people say, look, here it is or there it is. You see, the kingdom of God is in your midst. And that leads us on to my second point. Christmas means God has given us light for our dark hearts. Not just for our dark world, but for our hearts. Jesus has come as a light for the darkness out there, but also the darkness in here. Apparently, the Times once sent out a letter to a number of famous authors asking the question, what is wrong with the world today? And G.K. Chesterton famously wrote back, dear sir, I am yours, G.K. Chesterton. The great problem that we have is actually our human heart. Jesus put it like this. He said, light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And you know, this part is both the best and the most challenging part of the Christmas message for you and for me. It is the most challenging because if believing in Jesus gets any one of us out of darkness, then without believing him, we're still in darkness. And that is a very challenging thing to be confronted with. Perhaps your life right now feels incredibly bright and he's nowhere to be seen. You're thinking, I'm fine. And yet, it is also the best news. Because if we do feel that darkness, if we are burdened with our sin, if we are burdened with our failures, if we feel a long way away from God, if we're exhausted trying to find our way alone, if we are crushed by our own sense of inadequacy, if we're trapped in a spiral of our own making, if we're just longing for illumination, then there is light. There is light in Jesus. He cares for us. He cares for us so much that he came into this world, and what we so need, he supplied. What you so need, he supplied. Well, how should we respond? Time is too short for me to say too much more. I'd love to continue the conversation with you afterwards or with anyone here on the team at Emmanuel. We'd love to do so. I'd love to encourage you as well, if you're able, to join us on one of our courses in the new year. We've got a course called 321. It's a fantastic opportunity to explore the Christian faith. It starts on January the 12th at 5 p.m. here in the church. We'd love to see you there for that. But for now, I want to leave you with just this one response. In the darkness, look to Jesus. In the darkness, look to Jesus. There is a beautiful picture in the New Testament, and with this I'll leave you. It comes from the Apostle Peter, one of the earliest disciples of Jesus. And he was speaking actually about the prophet's message that we've been reading and thinking about this evening. And he said this, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. It's that wonderful image. Yes, there is darkness in our hearts. We go our own way. We often ignore the Lord. We often act as if he doesn't even exist. But Jesus offers this prospect, that he should rise like the morning star within us if we look to him. That is the light shining in the darkness. Let us pray. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening as those who walk in a world that, though it is beautiful and wonderfully created, is also a place of darkness and one that so desperately needs your light, your rule, your kind, peaceful rule. And we come to you also as those whose hearts have darkness. We suffer, we stumble, and we need forgiveness and new life. We need your light in our lives. Oh Lord, this Christmas, would we be those who, though walking in the shadow of darkness, would experience your light. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we draw to a close, let me just say a couple more things by way of welcome. If you're new to us and you'd love to hear about what else is going on here at Emmanuel, I'd love you to take one of these blue cards. Do fill it in. You'll get some weekly emails and an update on the things that are happening in the life of the church. And there's plenty more going on at this Christmas time. Do grab a flyer and see whether some of the other services that we're running this Christmas are right for you. Of course, do make the most of that 3-2-1 course that I mentioned earlier. Do chat to me or any other team if you'd like to know more. And finally, just to mention that if you would like to donate to Open Doors and specifically their Middle East appeal, there are going to be facilities for doing that at the exits. You can either drop cash in a basket there, or we also have some contactless readers there where you can make a donation, or some QR codes there. Finally, do please stay on afterwards for refreshments. Now, a final blessing. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be ours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.